Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fam. All right, so we're on, and that's
the new rendition of the new hits theme song for the best podcast in the universe. Welcome to Hey Fam. My name is Levins. His name is Angus, and this is a show where we talk about cool shit like movies, video games,
comics,
TV,
fam,
entourage, and The Rock's brand new TV show, Ballers.
HBO baby.
HBO, strap it.
More like HB bro. Look, we're a couple of entourage heads.
We're some real entourage heads. We got 6 seasons in the bag and a movie.
Hey, did you say a movie? I think you pronounced that wrong. It's hit movie.
Hit movie.
The critics love it.
6 hit seasons and a bigger hit movie.
It's what it is, baby. It is what it is.
Angus, you were lucky enough to be at the premiere for the Entourage.
Yeah, movie. That's right. I was.
You've been to a lot of premieres in your lifetime. Where did it rate?
Well, look, it's like that first taste of caviar. It's like that first sip of whiskey. You kind of go, well, this is something new, and my palate isn't quite prepared for this, but I'm sure it's all ready for a lot more of where this came from. And it was, you know, you were rubbing shoulders with Sydney's premier nightclub promoters.
Drug dealers.
Guys that work at Foot Locker. And also, might I say, this is true, Koshy. Now, when I got there, it was a premiere, so it came out a few nights. It was shown a few nights before the main.
For those who don't know, Koshy is the regional manager for Foot Locker Penrith.
And also, but that's after 9 a.m.
After hours.
Because you can find him on TV before that. So before, I got there with a pal, and this is funny. He has a song in the movie.
Koshy?
Koshy's song for Zach. He tried. He did a, rewrote the Jane's Addiction hit. I don't know. Is it Oh Yeah?
Yeah, it's called Oh Yeah.
Is it really? I think it's called Superstar. I don't know.
Super Oh Yeah.
Super Oh Yeah.
Wanna be your Super Oh Yeah.
Koshy's got knocked back. However, I did go with a friend, Matthew Vansky, who has a song in the movie.
Oh, wow.
And as fate would have it, he was actually in the toilet during the song because we drank heaps of Coke. This was all free Coke. But anyway, as heaps, we kind of came...
Wait, you have free Coke? It was free Coke at the Entourage?
Coca-Cola, of course. Not Vince Coke, Coke.
Not that classic Johnny Drum.
Well, I don't know. I can't speak for Koshy because he was standing right against the door. We wanted a good spot, basically, because, hey, we weren't paying for this movie, but we sure as hell were entitled, and we did not want to sit in a shitty zone. No one wants to sit to the side when you're watching Vince, Baby Bro, Big Bro Turtle, and Ari Gold on the big screen.
And just plain E.
And just straight up just, E.
And Sloan.
Sloan, I'll get into Sloan later.
I wish we could all get into Sloan later.
Woo! Oh, yeah! Normally, we'll hit the buzzer then. Oh, yeah, buzzer. We actually have an episode of Entourage running in the background.
We should clarify at this point that we fucking hate Entourage.
Yeah, we don't like Entourage.
But you surround yourselves with things you hate to create things you love.
Yeah, exactly. So we've committed to every episode recording session, we will have an episode of Entourage playing. It's one for one, HBO, all right? Until we win. But... one sin had been let in.
So far, HBO, the score is 6 seasons in a hit movie. Levin's and Angus, one. Zero.
Well, we've already ripped their theme song. Legally, they have way more on us. So the other cinema was pretty full. And I'm like, hey, I got a good feeling. They're going to open up that second cinema. Let's get a good spot. And they're trying to even usher us back into the other one where we would have been on the side. And I was like pretending to go to the toilet. That, you know my shtick. Whenever anyone wants me to do something, classic, I start pissing. It definitely gets you out of doing things you don't want to do. But then eventually they open the new door and we're like, all right, let's get center seats. Your song's in this movie, baby bro. We want to hear it on the big screen. Lo and behold, we get wedged out, by the way, by a guy in a tan suit and wearing a mad blue shirt. Who is it?
But Dwayne Koshy. Johnson.
Well, no, seriously. It's almost as if Dwayne Johnson's wardrobe.
Oh, yeah. Koshy is definitely Australia's The Rock.
Same hairstyle. Probably same neck tattoos. We just don't see under the collar. Definitely true. And he pushed out of the way, and there was free popcorn. So he had his back, and it's almost like it was just him in a trail of popcorn. And if you followed it, you would find Australia's premiere.
I've seen him. I've met Koshy twice in my life.
Yeah, which
and both of them were,
Entourage.
No
season finale. Series
seeing,
finale.
Both of them were seeing Rihanna.
Really?
When she first came out to Australia, there was a media show that I went to when he was there, and then she came out again. To support Jay-Z at Jay-Z's tour here, and he was there too.
Dare I say that Koshy is perhaps living the life of one of the characters off Entourage? Like, he is so...
If Koshy was an Entourage character, because, I mean...
He's Ari Gold.
He would be Ari Gold.
He's Ari Gold. He's a numbers man. I'm not saying he's Jewish. I know that's a joke they would make in Entourage. I'm not going to go there, guys. Also, I'm not married, so according to Entourage, I'm gay. So just kind of, you know...
No one in Entourage is married.
Oh, yeah, but the ones that are
Ari, Ari Gold.
But other than that...
So, wait, are you saying that everyone on Entourage, the show we're watching right now, is gay?
That's my second year
university secret.
Student reading of it.
Oh, you did a thesis?
Yeah, I'm writing a thesis on how everybody is secretly a closeted homosexual and they're coming to terms with
except
for Ari.
No, except Lloyd.
Except Lloyd. And, you know, it's like a metaphor for Tom Cruise because, you know, he's like, you know, everyone's like, he's gay. But you can't because Hollywood makes you... Not gay. I don't know. That's for our
Hollywood secrets podcast.
Yeah, that's for our spoken word.
Tom Cruise conspiracies that's by candlelight.
That's when we're banned off iTunes and we're doing shows on like ham radio.
Too hot for iTunes. So the Entourage premiere movie, probably one of the highlights of your life.
Highlights of that week, definitely. There was a cardboard stand which was huge. It was like the size of a wall in my house and it had all of the cast members, obviously not here because they were elsewhere, but you could just stand with them and you can get a photo. And if you use the correct hashtag, they'd print it out in a machine and give it to you. I used the correct hashtag, which was Entourage Movie Sydney, but I threw in a couple of my own. I threw in God Damn It Lloyd. Thought that was a good one.
Classic.
I threw in True Detective Season 2, just, you know, for just wanted to get some hits. And Vince is going to do the movie hashtag. And you could find that all on my Instagram.
They're all trending by the end of
They're all trending by definitely the, when I walked out 4 minutes into the movie. The movie was horrible. But what was funny was at the same time, this is depressing. I think I sent it to you. If you haven't, we'll post it on the Facebook page, which we've got, which is just Hey Fam.
Hey,
look
fam.
It up. It is, they did a celebrity takeover and they picked, what's his name? Adrian Greener. The guy who plays Vinny Chase.
Adrian always greener.
The grass is always greener in Adrian town.
Chase is always greener.
The chase is on. Anyway, they got Vinny Chases and they made him be like, the roving reporter for Eon Lyon's Instagram. And it's the most depressing thing ever because he gets to the premiere and he's in the car. They're using video. So they're 15 seconds. They're limited to the Instagram time length. And he's like, here we are about to pull the ripcord on the world premiere. And he gets out and there's heaps of photographers and no one cares. And they just get back to like chatting amongst themselves. But it's like, he must have by contract said, I'll do 5 of these for you. And it was the 5th one. He's like, I'm not doing anymore. And it's so depressing. And there's photos of him like lying on the grass of like probably the offices of Eon Lyon when he was given the job. And he's like, getting ready for the big premiere today. And it just looks like the most depressing 6 hours in a supposed lead actor's life.
Gross.
I really recommend you guys looking that up. If ever you're feeling suicidal or if you're feeling like you want to, your life's
nothing
not that
could
good,
get worse.
Like, it could be worse than actually being cast in a show. Like, I think the guy that plays, I think his life must be weird. Like, he's for 8 years of his life or so has gone to work for a considerable amount of time of every day of the year thinking and the whole cast and everyone reacting as if he's a really important like in real world term, world terms, he's probably like, he's not Johnny Depp level. He's not, but you know, he's not like, he's a bit of a household name, Vinny Chase. He's like a Channing Tatum.
He's the guy from Entourage, maybe is a household name. I don't know if Vinny Chase.
Oh, no, but I mean like within the world of Entourage.
Oh yeah, no, he's up there.
That's what I mean.
He's an A-list
though. Oh yeah, but I mean, imagine how weird his life must be. Like for 8 years, he's been this, played a character who when he goes to work, everybody thinks he's an A, but then when people probably don't recognize him, like that would be weird, right? Psychologically, like,
yeah,
that's going to fuck you up to the point where I've actually, this is a true story. I'm not naming any names here, but I've got a friend who lives in a little country I like to call America. Mm. I don't know if we're going to throw in a sting then that goes like, dun, 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 they're just dun, so, dun, 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 which isn't America.
Oh, yeah.
America. This is American hot exclusive soundbite for you. Friend of mine has a friend who's female and she's recently been single and ended up going home with Mr. Vinny Chase.
Vinny Chase.
Don't want to name any names here.
But let's call him Chinny Vase.
Let's call him Chinny Vase. Let's call him Baby Bro. And Baby if you Bro. Listen, if you know, if you watch the show, the reward is you know who we're talking about. So Baby Bro took a girl home. I don't know if this is going to be LaBelle. No, it's, I'll carry on. And they were kissing and stuff like that. And he said, why don't you bring back one of your friends? And then she like, imagine that cue, record needle scratch. And she said, you're not actually in the show Entourage. And then left.
Whoa.
That's pretty crazy, right?
That's like wild.
A true story. I don't even know if we're like.
And that's why he quit acting.
That's why he's quit acting. But goddamn, so glad they got him back together for Entourage, the movie.
The best cinematic masterpiece the world has ever seen.
Thank God.
Just one of many Entourage stories you'll be hearing on Hey Fam. Believe it or not, this podcast exists to talk about things that we actually like.
We've gone for, we've done a tidy 10 minutes on Auntie.
Movies, TVs, comic books, video games, all told from the perspective of myself and Angus, our experiences watching, reading and playing.
Because we're not casual viewers of things. I find that's why this is good for us. We're guys who get deep in stuff and we will go that extra mile.
We are. We're fam-addicts.
We're fam-addicts.
You know, funny you should mention True Detective Season 2, a hashtag, because...
Couldn't escape it last year when they announced it was going to be a new cast. No one knew, remember?
Not even last year. What about last night? Because last night was the premiere of the second season of True Detective, but was also the premiere of a little show that's just taken over our lives.
Yeah.
We all watched it.
I'm glad when I got that Entourage tattoo, the guy's like, do you want me to do the full sleeve? And I'm like, I got a feeling about this one. Leave a little bit. I think there's going to be something else that's coming along.
Ballers.
Ballers.
Is all the right. Name of a new piece of shit on HBO starring the none Rock. Other than The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson.
DWJ.
Probably.
Dwidge.
I'm not getting ahead of myself here, but I this is legit. Not trying to yank chains. Future American president.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Or at the very least, the next governor.
Oh, totally. But. I seriously think president. I see it happening, fam. And I'm 100% behind it.
Is it true that he's actually, in every single one of his movies, he plays the president?
He plays a president.
It's like the president like on his day off.
Sometimes it's like the president of the billiards club or something, but he's always got the title the president. I think it's part of his contract stipulation. The Ballers. Wow. Okay.
Ballers is a show in which The Rock plays... He was a football star.
Yeah. And has been.
He has been, but instead of just pissing that career into the wind.
Up his nose.
It's time to, instead of pissing in his nose.
Well, that's Australian football, isn't it? There you go. Yeah, that's an Australian football joke for you.
Bubbling up the nose.
Yeah.
We do great sports humor on the fam.
If you're a jock, congratulations. You've figured out how to download a podcast, you dummy. And now you're listening to a podcast.
But he's not a football anymore.
No.
He's not washed up though. No. He decided
he's
to. It's time for a second chance. He's a sports marketer.
That's probably my favorite job ever because imagine being given
that you've done.
Not that I've done. I've put a couple of resumes in, a few nibbles here and there. But it's just such a like incredible job. What do you do? I market sport. It's just okay. It's like marketing the ability to eat or marketing like breathing. It's just such a... I can't believe it's an industry.
I was really hoping to get the sports marketer market with this podcast. And if you want to hate anybody in this podcast, sports marketing fans, hate Angus.
Yeah, hate me.
But he's got a chance to win you back because he is the biggest devotee of ballers.
Well yeah, like in I Australia. Said, I kept that sleeve. I gave it a little extra space. They said, what are you going to put in there? I go, I don't know, but just leave it.
I've got a feeling, man. Dwayne Johnson, he's been making a shitload of movies, but
he's got to have time for a TV show.
He's got to have time for a TV show at some point. Leave it blank.
And I'm pretty sure now that the Entourage movie's wrapped up, the
production team, yeah.
They've got a lot of spare time on their hands. And look, while they've pretty much been banned from Los Angeles for hate crimes, there's a whole other beach on the other side of the country in Miami.
Yep, let's take the rock to Miami.
And I said, let's leave seven letters. Let's just see what's going on there.
We spent 10 minutes talking about Entourage. I'm going to give you 20 seconds to sum up the first episode of Ballers.
So,
go.
It's Entourage, except it's in Miami. It's not about movies. It's about sports and sports marketing. And instead of maybe Ari Gold or maybe Vinny, whoever the lead in Entourage was, it's The Rock.
Right.
Comedic relief provided by Rob Corddry.
And one other white guy pretty much playing Ari
Gold. Ari Gold. He's the polo shirt wearing Ari Gold, whereas Ari Gold wore suits and vests and stuff like that. This is strictly, he's the jock Ari Gold.
But don't worry, guys. He fucks.
His opening scene is him with a girl, reverse cowgirl style.
Entourage style. Entourage. I think that's what it's called now.
Vinny Chase style. Vinny chasing our dreams. That's all we're doing.
Chinny vasing this chick.
Shout outs if you go home with Vinny Chase and you do bring home that friend. Let us know what happens. Hit us up. Heyfampodcast@gmail.com.
But let's talk about True Detective. Season 2. We were big fans of season 1. In fact, we even hosted a...
quiz night.
A quiz night. A trivia night. A good God.
I reckon we were the first Sydney. People to ever throw... I don't want to blow my own horn here, but I think we're the first to ever throw True Detective trivia.
Yeah, I mean, it's now the most popular Olympic sport.
It is, yeah. It was,
but on a cold night in Sydney late last year,
wasn't it? Yeah.
We sent a lot of people home angry, very upset. Very upset because
well, look, the show itself is pretty esoteric. So would our questions?
Yeah, bit strange.
Didn't we give something that someone had to make something out of beer cans or?
Yeah, you had to. I don't know. And if you didn't have like yellow painted skin.
Yeah.
You just couldn't win a prize.
No, I didn't even know what the main prize... the main prize was amazing.
What was the main prize? I can't remember.
We bought them a DVD just before the quiz started across the road at a JB Hi-Fi, and it was a film, the surfing one.
Oh, yeah, that's the shitty movie that Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey...
Yeah, I forget the name of it, but it's amazing. Matthew McConaughey plays a Tony Hawk-esque surfer that gets a video game made about him a la Tony Hawk, and it's like a virtual reality surfing movie, but it's also about having a good time with your mates in Hawaii.
And there's no Yellow King, unfortunately.
Because we were like, we've got something here, we've got an amazing production, I'm not going to give any names away, but it stars
Woody Harrelson
and Matthew McConaughey.
It was like, how'd they get the DVD on pre-release?
And it's like, no, here's a $6.99 JB Hi-Fi movie, go fuck yourself.
Congratulations. go home angry.
But yeah, we're fans.
Yeah, and actually we had 3 rounds of questions, so 30 questions all
30
up.
Questions.
And the hardest question was spell McConaughey.
That's seriously got
like,
a lot of...
Yeah, like two teams got it right.
Style. They had to come out and read it out to us.
Yeah, and everyone got it wrong.
We shamed people.
We did. We named and or shamed.
Yeah.
But the second season started last night. Of course, the first season was all about McConaughey and
Deep
Harrelson.
South.
Deep South.
Occult.
Louisiana. Occult stuff. And the first episode of the second season aired last night. We have 4 leads.
4 leads.
Colin Farrelly.
Colin Farrelly, brother.
No, who is it?
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell.
Luck of the Irish. And may it smile upon you. He is...
Famous for his beautiful portrayal of Bullseye in the acclaimed Daredevil movie.
Yeah, shout outs to Ben Affleck's Daredevil.
And they're also...
Vinny Vaughn. The old motorboat
the
king himself Vinny. From Wedding Crasher.
And then Rachel McAdams.
Because guess what? One of the complaints for season 1 was all the chicks were doing in this were getting killed, being prostitutes, or being cheated on.
Yeah, wow.
And that's kind of true when you think back about it. They weren't really some strong cheeky babe leads. Guys, can I just say this Entourage episode ended, but because I got HBO now, the best thing is it has an auto coming up next. Like, there's no way...
We're not leaving this couch for the next 10 days.
If we're not watching Entourage, we better have a good excuse because it just is auto-playing right now.
The last lead in True Detective Season 2 is the
Taylor
guy
Kitsch.
From... Yeah, the guy from Friday Night Lights.
And for all you FNL fans out there, I've actually got a podcast about Friday Night Lights called Green Eyes, Full Hearts.
You really do?
Yeah, yeah.
How often do you record?
We've done 3 over 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's the first one was about Friday Night Lights. It's about spin-offs.
Full Eyes, Green Hearts?
Green Eyes Full Hearts.
Right.
Based off a phrase.
And then you also have a podcast called The Green Light Boys. So why aren't we call ourselves like, hey, Green Fam?
I think people thought I was...
Green Eggs and Fam.
That's for the mashup episode.
Perfect.
Yeah. Taylor Kitsch, a Canadian heartthrob who played Tim Riggins on Friday Night Lights. And he kind of plays... What a damaged war vet by the look of things in this.
Yeah,
everyone might be laughing at these like in 8 weeks' time when we know how everything pans out.
We might have it all wrong. But at the moment, the one thing that ties all these characters together, like they're not even all detectives, but
they're not even true.
You know what they all are?
Damaged.
They're damaged goods.
And we've got a lot to say about damage. Oh, but no, what did you think of the episode?
The episode I thought was awesome. I mean, I've been seeing a lot. I had the displeasure of checking Facebook before watching the episode.
You could escape it.
So I saw my most beloved friends posting the dumbest reactions to it. Probably about as dumb as ours, to be honest. But for the most part, it was people complaining about just that it wasn't as good as the last season.
And that
it was hard to follow and that kind of thing.
But I also think people forget, like, it took a while for people to really get into season one too.
Yeah, like, I mean, I feel...
There's so many dominoes and pieces that once they all clicked into pace, you're like, oh, I get it now.
And I feel like there weren't that many people that came on board the True Detective train from the first episode last season. You came on board after about, you know, 4 or 5 episodes of seeing other people post about it. Like,
people binged it at the end and they're like, that was hectic.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like people view the first episode as like the first 3 episodes.
It's hard, especially with this one. There's double the cast members and... Unlike the
so
other
many
one,
plots going on at the same time.
And like the other one had the benefit of... Season one had the benefit, I found, of... It told you backstory in a really cool way where it had the current interview going on and then that would give backstory to the flashbacks. Because it was set over like 3 different time eras. Obviously, if you do that again, it would be a bit of a lazy device. So it's cool to see he's not doing that. So yeah, this time there's a lot more like, oh, I wonder what he's doing or how these guys know each other. And I thought it was good. One question, who do you think is a better alcoholic? Rust Cole or Colin or what's his name in this one? Ray Volcoro.
Rust never told a child that if he bullied someone again, he would come back and butt fuck his father with his mother's decapitated head.
Yeah.
Which is something I heard as a child a lot.
Well, yeah, you and I grew up rough. We get it. But didn't Rust kill his daughter?
What?
Didn't you hit her with a car?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, you meant so what's on purpose.
Oh, no. But what's worse? Drunkenly hitting your daughter?
Or calling your actual son...
A little pussy,
fat little pussy.
I mean, I'd like to see... I don't know.
Maybe the crescendo of this episode, of this season... They'll team up and kill Colin Farrell's son. Perfect.
Yeah. Maybe Rust... He'll get Rust so drunk.
He's like, I can't kill my stupid son, but I know someone who can. And then like... Russ Cole comes in.
Time is a flat circle. And I'm pissed.
Time is a flat circle. And your son's a fat pussy. Time to die.
I wouldn't be mad with that.
The redhead king.
I wouldn't be mad with that. I wouldn't be mad with that at all. But no, man, I'm on board. Let's touch back on it when it's all done as well.
Yeah, this is going to be a weekly podcast. So if you are a True Detective fan and you feel like you need to hear shitty jokes every week about it, please come back.
Please.
To Hey Fam.
I'm on board.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it is hilarious that that they made sure that each of the leads was
damaged
as each other. Damaged has
though
been...
Though Vince Vaughn's not that damaged, which is interesting. He's kind of like... He's been like...
I mean, he's a crook.
He's a crook, but he's not like...
Oh, he's a good-looking crook,
he's not
though.
Burnt. He's not like...
You don't know that yet. He's
not impotent. He can get an erection on it.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't need to take Viagra and wait half an hour
to
bone a babe.
Been there.
But what's different between the characters in True Detective, and this is one of the best segues you'll ever hear.
Oh.
The difference between the characters of True Detective, who are damaged... And one of the main characters of a soon-to-be-released movie through DC Studios, Suicide Squad, is that...
One has it written on their forehead.
No, none of them has damage tattooed across their foreheads, like the Joker in Suicide Squad. We love comic books.
Ugh.
We love comic book movies.
We love Batman.
Even the fucking bad ones. We do love Batman. But even the really bad comic book movies, we're still going to pay money to go see them.
Oh, yeah, we'll go see all of them.
It's redundant us even complaining about why we don't like... certain elements
of
them.
But this is our podcast, and so we can.
Yeah, we Marvel certainly aren't perfect with their ginormous universe of shared...
No, properties. I mean, when you open up the floodgates that wide, there's bound to be some cross lines.
But for the most part, they're, you know, they're in, you can definitely pick what's going to happen in a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
But, and
there'll be a weak villain.
Yeah. And, but so far, what we've seen of the DC universe trying to do the same thing as Marvel has been worrying, to say the least. Man of Steel is the only movie that exists post Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy.
So, yeah, for those, I guess, like in 30-second pitch, basically.
Yeah, pitch me the DC universe, Angus.
DC universe. All right, Marvel got it sorted. Everyone's a fam. Everyone can walk in everybody's movie.
I know all about the Marvel. Tell me about DC, Angus. DC. You've got 20 seconds.
All right, so it's a shambles. They just finished wrapping up what has been like the most critically acclaimed superhero series ever, the Chris Nolan Dark Knight trilogy. Chris Nolan, because he's more artiste auteur than...
Featuring classic characters. Batman.
CIA guy.
CIA guy.
Bane's henchman.
Dr. Pavel.
Dr. Pavel. Guy that gets corpsed up in the plane crash.
A big guy, Bane.
He's big.
For you.
For you. Yeah, you know, and I'm kind of glad that he's like, no, this isn't part of a bigger universe. This is my take on Batman, my realist grounded take. Well, DC's like, that's great because the critics love it, prints money. Problem is we can't make a franchise for 20 years like Marvel can.
Yeah. So
and the pity was also Batman is like the DC, you know, him and Superman are like, front and center. Like, if you don't have Batman in this series, then people aren't going to buy into it. So they had to reboot it, which is something which, you know, we weren't used to 10 years ago, but now we're pretty insensitive to reboots. That shit happens all the time.
Yeah, we're like, oh man, I can't believe we're seeing the Spider-Man story again.
Here's
my money.
Yeah. Shut up and take it. So they started with Man of Steel, Zack Snyder.
Which was a pile of shit.
Look, you didn't like it. I liked it more than you.
Yeah, I didn't. I thought when like the best thing about the movie is like a holographic memory of Russell Crowe.
Yeah. Russell Crowe was essentially...
He was really good in that movie.
Yeah, he was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, straight up.
He was totally Obi-Wan Kenobi. He was even like ghost Obi-Wan as a hologram. That was sweet. Look, I was into it. To me, what I liked about it, I find like the Marvel movies, then they're good fun, but they just don't stand... like, even though Man of Steel isn't a film in brackets by any means, it just... I thought it was... It looked better. It looked nicer. It looked like a more of a... I don't know. Marvel movies, to me, they're just like not as...
Well, they're
nice
more yeah, they're very CGI.
They're pretty
CGI
basic. And, yeah, they're but, pretty basic. And like, yeah.
Man, I don't know. I disagree. They work, I think. But I thought my Man of Steel... Like,
I think they work as a whole, definitely.
Man of Steel definitely spent way more time developing the art behind it.
Yeah, true.
Making the S look like a symbol.
No one remembers a score to a Marvel movie. I guarantee you that.
The what?
A score to a Marvel movie. Like the soundtrack, the theme songs or anything.
Yeah, when Iron Man had AC/DC, that's
terrible. Whereas I think like Hans,
I love that. I know that's one of like the few uses of like a very well known song in a movie that I think really works.
It's just I don't know. I just coming out. I love Hans Zimmer, and so I don't know. To me, it was almost like it was nowhere near hit the mark of the Dark Knight movies.
When
like,
Iron
what
Man
worked?
1 plays the Hans Zimmer classic Back in Black,
that's when I'll shut up and put my money where my mouth is. But yeah, so they've had to start from scratch. They started with Man of Steel, which I got to admit. Starting with a AAA character like Superman, that's a pretty big move.
Well, and it should make the
should be easy.
Yeah, exactly. It should make it easier. But they kind of made out to make something less dark than Nolan's very grounded Batman trilogy, but ended up making like the darkest take.
Oh,
on,
yeah.
Almost unnecessarily dark take on Superman.
It was like, the loner parts from every movie we've seen. It was like all the scenes where Wolverine's a dude living in the woods by himself. Like that was in this. It was like dead parents. Batman, you know.
Except it was like Superman watching his dad die and just letting it happen.
Yeah, you have a lot of problems with that, don't you?
Oh, that was shit house.
Hey, we've all been teens.
I would never let, like, even if my dad was like...
Didn't his dad tell him not to do it? Wasn't he just being a good boy?
Yeah, I know, but like, I don't know. Good boys don't get the girls, but Superman...
If he was the strongest Superman, I think he could have blown the hurricane away with his breath.
Well, should have been the Hollywood bad boy he just deserves to be and save that dad.
No, that's Batman material. He's the Hollywood bad boy.
So now they're...
starting from scratch.
The next DC movie. Well, they're not starting from scratch. They've started from scratch. We've got Man of Steel is the first one. And then next we've got Batman v Superman.
Yeah, everyone was expecting Man of Steel 2.
Dawn of Justice.
That's not on the
Well, it was originally called Man of Steel 2. And then they were like, Batman's going to be in it. And they were like, no, wait. Batman is the main part of this movie. And he's going to kick Superman in the dick.
Let's talk about the title. Batman v Superman.
Dawn of Justice.
It sucks. Like Batman 5.
Thus ends our discussion of...
DC Universe. Seriously.
But after they introduced to us not just the new Batman played by Ben Affleck, but also Wonder Woman.
Which the internet ridiculed for a year before that first shot. And everyone was like, oh no.
I think he's going to do an okay job.
I think he's going to do a great job. He's a huge Batman fan.
And that's all you need.
He was a huge Daredevil fan, and look how that turned out.
Yeah, perfect.
No, but I seriously think he's at that age now where, you know, it's 20 years after Daredevil, basically.
Damn, is it really that long?
Oh, it's really like 15 or something, yeah. It was like 2000 and whatever. But I think, you know, he's come a long way. He's playing an older, chiseled, grizzled Batman. I think he's got the chops.
Yeah.
Like in Gone Girl, I've seen some sullen Ben Affleck. You know,
he's got that bat dick out.
He's got that huge bat dick. He's got his bat Oscar.
We're also going to be introduced to the Wonder Woman, The Flash, and
who's playing
Aquaman.
Wonder Woman again? Gal Gadot.
Yeah, I don't know anything she's been in.
Well, she's in the Fast and the Furious film, so.
Oh, right. She plays The Rock.
Yeah, she plays The Rock. She plays The Rock's The Rock's gear stick.
and then after that, we get a movie that we were talking about earlier, Suicide Squad, which is...
Oh, yeah.
It's all about a bunch of villains teaming up.
You're a big fan, aren't you, of the comic?
The comic is great. Originally created by John Ostrander.
You've got
a late
single issue.
I do. Yeah. It's a pretty little collection.
How many do? Like, because I want to read them. If I were to start, do they do any trades of it? Like, what's the easiest?
Yeah, they're now re-releasing all in trade, and I think it's all on digital. No, in the last few years they've been releasing it,
so it's pretty easy to get. What? How many years did you do?
I think it's like 80 issues, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Maybe
that's pretty good.
100.
So it's a good ass read.
Yeah, it's a long read.
Okay,
but it's a bunch of DC villains who are all imprisoned. They get assembled in a squad.
Sounds like
the suicide missions.
Sounds like the Avengers. Sounds like the Bad Boy
Avengers.
Yeah,
except they're assembled by a lady called Amanda Waller, who works for the government, and they
Nick Fury.
Yeah, that's right, Amanda Fury.
And she's black.
Yeah, just like Iron Man. These guys team up and go on suicide missions that nobody can win. You might die while you're on it, but if you don't die, we're gonna let you off on parole.
So you may have raped that entire school and stuff, but...
But if you kill
the president
of Chile, we'll let you off the
hook.
Forget about that. We'll let you off the hook.
Sounds pretty good.
We'll turn a blind eye.
So yeah, Suicide Squad's the movie that comes after Batman vs. Superman.
And we've got a huge cast of
bad
villains
boys and bad girls.
Led by Harley Quinn, Deadshot, and Rick Flagg.
So Harley Quinn
is played
Margot
by,
Robbie.
Yeah, and she, you know, she looks forward.
Can we call her Al Margot? Yeah, we'll call her Al Margot Robbie.
She is Al Margot Robbie.
She's Al Margot from Neighbours.
We also got Wolf of Will Smith playing...
Wolf of Whiff Street. He'll be playing Deadshot.
And Deadshot is one of my favorite DC villains.
How do you feel about that casting?
I mean, whatever. I kind of don't... I'm so kind of... when it comes to DC announcements that they could announce that, like... I don't know.
Jared Leto could be playing Deadshot. And you'd be like, well, now I'm interested.
But alongside all these different villains,
yeah,
we have the Joker. And it's the first time the Joker has been...
Wouldn't he be
recast.
A great Joker?
Oh, we're currently watching...
So we've got an episode of
Entourage. I don't know if we mentioned that yet. We're watching Entourage while we record.
But we just saw
Jeremy Piven, a.k.a. Ari Gold. He's dancing with his chum Lloyd.
He's smiling. Looking at that, that looks like one of the Joker and one of his henchmen.
One of the Joker's classic
smiles. You just white out that face a bit. You dye that hair green.
You put a damage tattoo on his forehead.
Well, that's what we're here. Yeah. So they've gone, look, you can see what happened behind scenes. You can see DC, like, look, we're in a lot of trouble. The last cat to play the Joker got a goddamn Oscar for it.
And then died.
He died before.
So good at playing the Joker that he died.
Well, look, that would be, it would still be sad, but unfortunately that's not what happened. It would be a great version. But he died, got
it's
the
my
Oscar.
Version. It's a version I choose to believe.
It's one you're going
to
raise your family.
It's not the version
we deserve, but it's the one we need. look, you can see what happened. The last guy that played him got an Oscar. Audiences aren't going to buy it.
He redefined the Joker when he played it.
He totally did. He reinvented the Joker.
So now we can't get someone to come in and do their version of Heath Ledger's Joker.
We need
to be groundbreaking again.
But we also need a guy who got an Oscar. And so I think they went for the guy who... Same Oscar.
Jared Leto.
Best supporting actor.
Best song ever written.
Best ever lead front man in a band called 30 Seconds to Mars. It was a little known category. It's not televised. But if it was, there'd be a hell of a lot more Jared Leto on my Oscars.
Not my Oscars.
Again, not hashtag. The story we deserve. if we can get hashtag not my Oscars trending.
Yeah, so they've gone...
Because you know what I'm doing this year? I'm going to re-edit the first, with the help actually of the Ballers crew, I'm going to re-edit my favorite bits and actually enter into the Oscars as a film.
Just all, every, and back to
rock.
Back, every single episode of Ballers back to back as just a long film.
Just, that's what I'm doing.
Tip, you know, best supporting actor...
My Oscar, hashtag, now that's my Oscars.
Best lead actor.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Rock. I'm going to be cutting out a lot of the scenes that are dialogue where people aren't on phones. I want it to be the first motion picture of just people on phones.
That's huge.
Actually, no, the Entourage movie beat me to that.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I skipped out on that premiere.
Yeah, that's... Well, Koshy took your scene.
Let's talk about the Joker.
Oh, yeah. So,
and not Koshy.
The world was waiting. Seriously. They were like, okay, Jared Leto, they've gone for an A-grade actor, someone who's just won the same Oscar Heath Ledger. All, so far, so good. But let's... you can see the meetings. Let's distance ourselves from his chaotic, nihilist
take. Redefine the Joker again. What can
let's
we do?
Let's make a Joker for our generation.
Let's use the base of Macaulay Culkin's face.
Yep.
On the front poster of Home Alone.
So seriously, yeah,
he's just applied that. He's taken off his shirt. He's applied that aftershave.
He's screaming.
Ah! Except we'll give him green, long green hair.
We're not long.
Slicked back.
It's kind of like, it's shorter than Heath Ledger's.
It's true.
Yeah. What Levins is describing now is, was on the 75th birthday of the Joker. Remember,
it was
on
the 75th. Thanks for being a fan for 75 years. Here's what you get.
Joke's on you, assholes.
Yeah, you get pale face, green hair.
Pale face.
You get
no eyebrows.
No eyebrows.
Eye makeup.
Dark eye makeup. A big, shiny grill.
Huge grill.
Not a grilled cheese sandwich. Metallic grill on his teeth.
Yeah.
Big red lipstick.
Yep. No scars, mind you. Not
no
like
scars.
Like a Joker self-inflicted wound. Just lipstick. Not even an elongated smile.
One glove,
Mr. Mickey Jackson.
And
you're missing out on... That all sounds good and all, but it sounds a bit plain to me.
Yeah, we need to really, really let these guys know how edgy this maniac is.
How would you do that? I mean, he's the Joker, doesn't like an audience.
I mean, wouldn't it be great if he could, like, carry around a sign or, like, just have maybe...
That's inconvenient. He's got to use two hands.
You're right. Let's tattoo the word damaged on his forehead.
Oh, really? You think the audience is that stupid? Like, they're going to
hate
that?
I don't know. Just in case they second guess him for one second.
You think... Essentially, the world's greatest terrorist within this universe.
One of the best known villains in the world.
But also within the universe of comics, like the world's most dangerous man, a psychotic killer who's responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths. You think he's got some spare time one day? You just went into a tattoo shop and said, fam.
Fuck me up, fam.
Fuck me up. Give me damage on my forehead.
And like, I'm a joker. I like to laugh a lot, but you know, sometimes it's a strain.
I don't think the red lipstick. I don't think the clown style hair. I don't think the pale skin.
It's a strain on my voice when I laugh all the time. So if you could just write ha 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 all over my chest and then draw lips all over the parts of my chest that don't have ha 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 written on them.
I might forget what the first letter of my name starts with. So do a little chulo style tear, but put a J under it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Under my eye.
So yeah, what we've been given is basically... What I don't like about it, I'm sure everyone's seen the photo, is the Joker now looks to me like a common thug. And that's someone who he's gone out of his way.
He looks like the bad guy from Spring Breakers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He looks like he's in Marilyn Manson's band. He looks like He just looks like some.
Well, I mean, the whole image of what we've seen of Suicide Squad so far, and that's a fucking lot of stuff.
Yeah, that shit's got more leaks than.
Than what, bro? Like a can with heaps of holes in it.
No, then look, then the girl that Turtle's about to go down on.
She's leaky. She looks leaky.
Well, I'm thinking like, you know, lubricant and.
Sure.
I was getting into that kind of blue humor.
Your famous blue humor.
Yeah.
But what we've seen of Slipknot. Sorry, not of Suicide Squad looks like a Slipknot film clip.
Yeah. We've got
everyone in kooky masks.
Look, everyone's been hanging to see Harley Quinn, arguably like one of the top five famous, most popular DC characters, female villain. For those who don't know, essentially the Joker's girlfriend,
introduced in the animated series by
Bruce Timm and Paul Dini. Yeah,
and they even wrote a fantastic comic about her later on.
But, Mad Love. Pick it up.
Yeah, she was like a psychiatrist that
in
Arkham Asylum and looked after the Joker, fell in love with him.
Harley Quinzel, Dr. Harley Quinzel.
And he made a joke that sounds like Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
And she was hilariously like, "Oh, I've never heard that before. I'm an adult and I've never heard that before.
I'm a dummy."
Anyway, she becomes his girlfriend and she's then a
Stockholm
foil.
Syndrome. It's actually a beautiful, quite tragic love story that's been going on for years.
And it worked in the animated series, but then when they it ported her over to the regular comics and then to the, I guess now to the film world.
Oh, the Arkham Knight. The Arkham series actually was another big one for
her. It doesn't work as well because you try to make her like a kind of likable character because she's almost an anti-hero sometimes.
Yeah.
Less a villain. But
she was like, you felt sorry for her in the animated series because the Joker would always like abuse her and tell her she's stupid. And
yeah, but I mean, that was like the most villainous thing that the Joker did in the animated series.
Whereas in real life, the guy's probably...
threw a few bombs at some cars. We didn't kill anybody.
So whereas in these dark, gritty, real world ones, he's doing...
He's a freaking maniac.
He's probably like, yeah, he's torching kids and stuff
and
like
so
that.
And having a character in love with that iteration of the Joker is problematic.
You got some issues with that?
No, I mean, it's just like, you know, it makes her a far less believable character.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, we haven't seen the movie. We might be like those people complaining about True Detective episode one.
Yeah, that's true.
But so far...
I mean, you know, what can I say? You know, like, Sloane married E. So, you know, maybe girls maybe even like the strangest of men.
Happy endings do happen. But look, I'm just worried about Jared.
Jared Leto?
The tattoo, it's just too loud. Like, to me, this iteration...
We haven't even seen him talk or act yet. I'm terrified of what he's got left to do.
But he's probably going to be singing. There's probably going to be a backing track with his band.
Yeah, the Joker and...
But look, I do think I've seen...
Harley Quinn
stuff.
And the Jokers.
He's been great. You know, he's great in Dallas Buyers and he's great in Fight Club and Panic Room. And he's got chops, that's for sure. The guy's a good
Lamb
actor.
Lamb chops.
He's committed too. Like,
thank you very much.
That was some of Levin's famous blue humor. Lamb chop humor was very good. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but... Just from that photo, it's like alarm bells are going off.
And that sums up what I think of all the DC movies coming up.
He looks like, imagine...
Because they've announced so fucking many of them.
Yeah, they've got a slate to like the next 10 years. But just imagine if the Heath Ledger Joker, yeah, this is some fantasy book, fantasy league shit, met the Jared Leto Joker. Like he looks like a devoted fan, a fanatic of the Joker.
Yeah, he'd be like, I love all your murders, man.
Yeah, I love the way you kill people with pencils.
And then he'd be like, oh yeah, bang. Yeah. And then Jared Leto dead forever.
And that's, to me, that he just looks like a fan of the Joker. He looks like some fuckboy rich kid. who the worst thing he's
done. If this lives on to be like, people refer to him as like the fuckboy Joker.
Yeah.
Then that's great. I can live with that.
But isn't that just like, if that comes out, then we're going to have to wait for the next reboot in 10 years' time where they might get the Joker.
What if we love the fuckboy Joker? It's like, you know what?
What if you and I see
Joker
it?
Works really well
and
as a fuckboy.
And we go get damaged tattoos as soon as it's done.
Yeah, like, I wonder if anyone's actually got damaged tattoos on their head.
Or removed, had them laid.
Yes,
surgically
since
removed.
Images leaked. It's like,
look,
oh God.
I'm going to be open-minded though. I do trust Jared Leto.
All right, I have less trust than you, but I will still pay money to see it.
Oh yeah,
so we'll you win this round, DC.
Look, we'll do an episode immediately after.
Why not during? Of us just going like, ugh.
But Ben, oh yeah, and Ben Affleck's going to be in that one too as Batman. So they're linking it all together. Like,
yeah, I know that because of the million videos that have leaked of him.
Of his hot butt.
Yeah, hot bat butt.
Nerdy question. What do you think of the new Batmobile?
I've never been a big Batmobile guy.
You're not into him?
No, I don't know. Like, I feel like the Tumblr kind of ruined that. The Tumblr's mad from the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah.
But I loved the stupidity of the Batmobiles in the Schumacher movies.
See, I love the Burton one. I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, but I love how, you know, and it would be a different shade of green light to a red light. I kind of love that aspect of it.
And then the Tumblr was kind of like, no, it's a tank because that, why would people build a car that lit up on the inside?
It have a bat insignia on it?
Yeah. See, the Tumblr, yeah. I mean, well, what do you think of the new one? To me, it seemed like a bit of a mix between,
yeah,
it took some elements of the other ones.
A lot of what I've seen in Suicide Squad so far feels like Batman and Robin.
Yeah,
it feels very Schumacher-y.
Which is amazing because, I mean, Warner Brothers were the ones that actually reinvigorated superhero movies when they did a 180 on Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin killed them.
Yeah, it killed superhero movies.
Yeah, dead in the water.
And they saved, I mean, Batman Begins is 10 years old this year. Like, look,
that's wild.
And back then, people weren't making superhero movies. It was just a laughed at concept.
That's 10 times older than Ballers.
Now, that's the type of world I want to live in.
When Ballers is 10 years old?
Yeah.
Can you even imagine? 10 seasons deep. How many movies do you reckon we'll have by then?
Hopefully one at the end of every... Well, I'll be re-editing every season, so there'll be a movie for every season.
You know, I was really bummed. We had E3 last week, and I thought it would have been a perfect opportunity, even though no one knew that it was coming out as a TV show.
Like, Ballers game?
Yeah, why wasn't there a Ballers video game announced?
I guarantee
at E3?
If we look at our iPhones right now, there's probably a Ballers HBO, a real bad shovelware app.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
All right, I'm going to check right now.
I'll fill you in on what E3 is. It's a big gaming conference in San Diego.
I mean, it's pretty big now.
It's big
it?
Now. Like it's a household showcase.
Yeah,
but all the big gaming companies and game developers have big shows where they announce all their plans for the year.
There's Flappy Ballers. Sorry, just want to give you an update. That looks like
Someone's made Flappy Bird, but with Ballers characters.
No, that's James Harden. That's like an actual. Oh, that's right. They're actual basketball players.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. I'm just racist. Don't worry about it.
When we were watching Ballers, I was like, how come the same guy's playing everybody in this show? This is whack. I was like, man, we got to have a talk. Yeah, look, unfortunately, well, if you're listening, HBO, and no doubt you are, no doubt your social media interns.
Yeah, we're putting our hands up to volunteer. We're volunteering.
We got a lot of ideas.
We will publicize the Ballers app.
We'll be part of the design process, if anything.
Next E3, put us on stage.
Do you know what my dream is? It's an app, and you just what it does, it rings, but it's not really a phone. It's just the app ringing, and you've got to pretend to just take a call because that's all anyone does on the show.
Perfect.
It's like you feel like you're in Ballers.
Yeah, it's like whenever you're having a conversation and you'd rather have another conversation
and then get back to it.
Yeah, and it's like ring, ring. Oh, what's that?
And on the other end, it will have dialogue from the show like, I need some money. And it kind of spurs you on. You have to be like, oh, I'll lend you $30,000. And yeah, it just makes you sound
like
a
baller. Yeah, just lend people money. Lend your phone money.
Yeah, and also the app has every hot girl ever's phone number in there.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Coming to E3 next year. Stay tuned. But E3 this year...
And you and I watch them. We get up early.
I used to get up early and watch all those...
And this is why
all
we
those,
don't anymore.
American-timed...
But we've done it before. That's
the
thing.
Yeah, we stayed up. Watch those Nintendo Directs. Watch all those things. And this year, I didn't. I decided to sleep and then would wake up to good news.
It was like Christmas morning, right? You'd like sleep through the night and Santa would leave you a...
What?
Reggie Claus had left you a big
sack. There's going to be DLC for NBA Jam?
And that's the type of world I want. That's a Ballers Season 1 world.
But this year, you had all the big companies announce some very, very crazy stuff.
They all went early too, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like the early, the smaller companies was like, yeah.
But yeah, so you had Sony announcing lots of great stuff for PS4 and Xbox doing a good show.
You got the Final Fantasy VII remake, which is going to be huge, and like they're building it from the ground up, which is massive.
Yeah, and everyone announced some really exciting stuff. Yeah, Bethesda.
Uncharted 4 looks fun as fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone, lots of great stuff announced, but there's one gaming company that.
Oh, and here's what they did: there was surprise new IPs as well.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what the other guys do great. They were like, here's some new ideas.
But one gaming company, the one that's closest to my heart and Angus's heart, Nintendo, decided to shortchange us this year. And they put out a pretty disappointing show where they didn't really announce anything very exciting.
And look, why do you like Nintendo? That's what I think. Like,
cool, weird ideas.
What got you into it?
I mean, lately... If you asked me 10 years ago, I'd be like, they're the only games that I like playing.
Like Mario Kart, Super Smash Brothers.
And they're games that the ones that are really rewarding to play on your own, but 10 times more rewarding to play with a room full of people.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's now...
They've always seemed like the smaller...
No, I mean, they were the biggest for a while.
Oh, no, for a while. But I mean, right now they're that they seem like they're back at that. Sometimes they go through. It's like they ebb and flow. And right now they're at that point where they're like.
Which is the better one of the ebbing and flowing?
I'm not too sure. I hate that phrase.
Yeah.
But let's say like high tide and low tide.
Yeah.
And high tide's good in this case.
Okay, good. High tide.
They're at like a low tide moment at the moment.
Yep. But the thing is with Nintendo, they're responsible for the highest tides and the lowest tides for my cool gaming year.
And even without them, those cool announcements at Sony and the other ones we saw, they would never happen. They're the guys that grew up on Nintendo who are making these games.
So you want Nintendo to continue being the leaders they once were, but unfortunately, you know,
organizational, I think, like, yeah, it's the way they're organized, that
it's so Japanese and so like rooted in
things, culture,
the way things used to be, and
and the Kyoto, well, like that way. I've told you once before, but a guy, basically, the way Nintendo make decisions is separate, not only just because they're in Japan, but separate to the rest of Japan. They're in the old capital in Kyoto, and when they make decisions based on. They have a board of, say, 8 members, and if 7 people say yes and 1 person says no, in any other place in the world, they wouldn't care. They'd be like, oh, well, overall, 7 have said yes, blah, blah, blah. We will add Rock DLC to Smash Brothers.
Yep.
However, the way things in Nintendo...
What would the Rock's final Smash
It's actually called, like, Kyoto Dealing. Like, you can actually look it up online, and if 7 would, people no, say
so
yes...
So what would the Rock's final Smash be?
His final smash would be, I was going to say him yelling, oh yeah, but that's not, he'd have to be, I'd take it back to wrestling.
What if the Rock's final smash was Jane's Addiction just come out and play the Entourage theme?
Well, that's like.
We'll go with that.
That's the type of world I want to live in. Yeah. But yeah, how it works in Japan is in Kyoto is 7 people say yes, but 1 says no. They still go no because they're like, not everyone was unanimous and so we won't do that. And I think it's that thinking that's definitely held people back.
Yeah.
And Nintendo back. From just reaching,
the ideas like, are so safe these days. That,
so safe.
But look, when they hit it out of the park, and they have done a few times this year, and certainly all of the highlights of their show this year was, I mean, unfortunately, it was all stuff that we'd seen at their show last year, but everything that's coming out this year looks really great, like Mario Maker and Yoshi's Woolly World.
Woolly World.
But Mario Maker in particular.
And you're looking forward to Mario Maker a lot, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of like a game where you can create your own Mario levels, but it also...
So use the Wii U, don't you? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and use the gamepad, which is like... It's almost like an iPad with buttons on the side.
And you can design your own levels, or more importantly, you can play other people's levels.
And so it's not going to be online in that sense.
Yeah, so it's basically you buy a game that will provide you with infinite new Mario levels.
Infinite dicks. Like, how many levels are going to be made in the shape of penises is what I'm wondering.
Oh, man, hopefully all of them.
Hopefully they've all got your name next to them.
Yeah, Levins.
See, my problem was, and I've told you this before, but my problem with that is I just would rather play a game made by the people that made Mario. It's like...
I feel like they're definitely going to release packs by, like, the original Mario makers.
I'd like that. It's like, to me, it's like if Pixar made the tools, like, now you can make...
you can make Toy Story 4.
Well, now you can make your own Pixar movies. I'm like, well, now I've got the tools, but that doesn't necessarily mean I have the brain or the artistry to create a good level or to create a good story.
I think that the tools aren't... It's not just like a, you know, dragging things around. It's very, very intuitive and almost like a game in itself.
Yeah.
It's all synced
to
music.
I'd like to be on...
It harkens back to Mario Paint and it's all synced to music.
See, I was a big Mario Paint fan.
And I think you'll like it, man. It's like saying, like... You know, I like art. Don't give me a paintbrush and you know, paintings. Why would I want to paint when I can just look at someone else's art, huh? Think about that, Truscan.
That's actually something I would say because I don't want to paint.
You love painting.
I've not painted. But look, I want to be mistaken. And yeah,
don't paint the room with lies, Truscan.
I'm painting. I'm going to paint just a big dick that you can jump on as Mario. But look, you know, I love Mario Paint. I go say if it taps into that. I love it. I remember I got that for Christmas one year, Christmas 93. I got that Mario Kart and Jurassic Park. It was the best year ever.
Killer trilogy.
Best ever. And I did not play anything except Mario Paint. I'd spend hours and it was just drawing. It was the music
just
level.
Drawing dinosaurs?
Yeah, just drawing dicks. No, just dinosaurs.
Dinosaur dicks.
And look, if it does tap into that, and look, maybe I'm not the age group it's made for. Maybe it is made for younger people who want to design stuff. I mean, maybe
Mario Paint? Or... No, dude, like, I'm telling you, we're all, like, when that game comes out, we're all going to be making cool Mario levels.
I want to be corrected, yeah. It looks great, the package looks great, you get a great book.
You can put, like, a classic Mario bad guy, like squid, that big white squid, and if you shake it as you put it in there, like, you shake it with your Wii U pencil, it suddenly becomes, like, a crazy version of that bad guy.
What does that do?
Well, it gets lots of little white squid surround it.
Yeah, right.
Or if you, I think if you like,
it seems yeah, cool
if you put a Goomba, like the classic Mario enemy, the Goomba on there, and then shake the Goomba, it becomes a giant Goomba.
Yeah, right.
So there's like, I don't know, there's like, and then you can make any level underwater. So you can design an entire level that works above ground, like usual, and then at the very last minute, just put it underwater, and it's a completely different level.
So that's pretty fun.
And like things that you've never seen before in a Mario game, like swimming Goombas and like...
Yeah, I saw a cool moment. Like it's almost like encouraging you to hack it and shit, and I saw... They put like, I don't know what the Beatles are called in the Mario world, but you know those Beatles? They're a bit like the Koopas?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they took a shell from that and they put it on Mario's head.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was like just deflecting like stuff.
Yeah.
Like I thought that was cool that you can drag and kind of mess with different parts of the environment.
Just knowing remix what the outcomes were.
Well, it's like
that's what we call that. That's what we call it in the music
that's
biz.
What we call this culture, baby. Remix. It's like how Ballers was remixed Entourage.
That's right. What if the Entourage had the Rock in it? That'll do. End of pitch.
Look, here's what's money. Happening now. Ari's in therapy with his wife.
Classic Ari
Gold. And he's
Gold.
Yelling at the therapist. Man, and Ari's
he
wife.
He really hates that wife, but he loves her.
It's an on-screen couple. It's, you know what it is? It's Harley Quinn and Joker.
Classic. Good callback. Good way to end the episode.
Yeah.
We'll be back again next week.
Why were you disappointed this year with E3?
I just tried to kill the episode. You want to bring this back out now? You really want to end me upset? I was just feeling blissful watching Ari yell at his wife.
It's only because you're seeing Vince Turtle and Johnny Drummond.
I was like, I want to stop talking and put the Entourage sound back on and just live out my dreams.
But why was it disappointing? We didn't actually say.
Yeah, we didn't say. They didn't really announce anything exciting.
Yeah.
And
it was like watered down versions of things we love.
Yeah, what we did see was what we'd already seen last year.
It's like board game versions of like
Animal Crossing and like no one wants. Who the fuck goes like, yeah, I bought a $400 video game console. I want to play a board game on it.
It's just like I don't know who they were pitching to, and like we like the Metroid thing, and you've probably heard about it if you're a gamer fan like that.
If you're a gamer fan, you would have heard about just the Metroid gamer just 3-on-3 soccer game.
Yeah, so it's like it's like it is pretty head scratchy, isn't it? They took an amazing franchise that's loved.
I reckon that they had this weird IP, like game that we've been working on, and they were like, fuck, we don't have anything. Zelda's taking too long to make. We're launching a new console in a few years. We're going to start making mobile games. What have we got in the back burner that we can just put out ASAP to tide the fans over?
The Metroid's such a big one. They've got heaps of other ones.
Yeah, but I think they just kind of threw the Metroid logo on that and sent it out. I mean, hopefully it's not as cynical as that, but
it probably is, sadly. And look, speaking now, that I think that video has more dislikes than any video I've seen on YouTube.
Yeah, like an hour after the conference, they put the video, the, it's like the 22, trailer 22,000. And it was it was like 1,000 likes, and then 22,000.
It was like 200,000 dislikes or something.
Oh, God.
It's amazing.
I'm sure I haven't checked it on it lately. But,
and they've actually left comments on, and they're pretty relentless, like no doubt. But
yeah,
it's pretty interesting that they've decided to do that.
I think we're going to see some cool announcements from Nintendo at the beginning of next year.
What do you feel about them going mobile? You into that?
I mean, if it means they can make lots of money and then make better games for me to play on Nintendo consoles or other consoles, then I'm happy with it.
It seems to be what Amiibo is anyway. I mean,
yo, I love Amiibo. And I'm in your house right now, surrounded by all kinds of knickknacks and toys, and there are no Amiibo on your shelves.
And that's a conscious decision. I just know once I pop, I won't stop.
The Pringle effect.
Look, all I've read about Amiibo is how hard they are to buy some.
They're pretty easy to buy. I mean, it's kind of fun finding a weird, rare one.
But why do they do that?
I don't know. It's baffling. It's
and like, aren't some of them really weird, rare ones? Like, isn't Jigglypuff rare?
No, Jigglypuff's really easy to find.
Okay. What's like what's a rare one?
Like Meta Knight? Or,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Have you got that?
Yeah.
How'd you get it?
Found it randomly at a EB Games.
Really?
Yeah.
What is an Amiibo? Like an Australian dollars?
$16.
Okay.
Yeah,
and it does stuff, right? Like it just...
It doesn't do that much. I don't know. Yeah, like it is a hilariously weird thing to
like
collect.
I don't understand it and I get tech things.
You get tech, man. Hey, just tech one thing about Angus Trust, he gets tech.
I get
guys.
Tech. Like I get it. I just don't understand it. Is it just for kids?
No, man. You sound like a fucking hater.
No. I just mean, is it like a cute distraction? They're like, oh, I want this because...
Well, I mean, I don't know. It unlocks certain things in some games. And
it unlock anything besides skins and outfits?
No, like you can unlock new levels in Splatoon.
Really?
Which is an excellent game. One of the best things that I've played this year. It's like the first new...
See, that's a new
first
IP.
Entirely new Nintendo IP.
That's a new Nintendo IP. We need that.
I know. They put out one new IP this year. So that means it's going to take another 6 years to put out something new.
Yeah, your kids will have kids.
Yeah.
So if you got one of the Splatoon amiibo,
does
it have to be this particular?
They
amiibo?
Unlock like challenges.
Okay,
so you can replay the levels again, but with different weapons. It's fun. It's
I don't understand how. Like, I think this is the first time I felt a generation gap. I'm like, how does it know?
But I mean, you have toys on your shelves anyway that are probably.
Yeah, but I put them on my console and nothing happens.
Yeah, I know, but you could just have a toy that sometimes does cool things.
Yeah.
The Captain Toad game, if you buy the Toad amiibo, it unlocks an entire game mode where you have to go back into a level
really?
And find an 8-bit version of a Toad.
In every level?
Yeah.
Have you got Captain Toad?
Yeah, it's fun.
Is it sick?
Yeah, it's good.
So that's a new IP.
Well, I mean, a new reuse of the Toad. And then and that in itself was a spin-off
of a bonus stage of Super Mario 3D World.
But I liked that. I mean, I would have liked something else like that.
Was it a sick game? Like, you got
it's really fun, man. All right. Yeah, I finished it.
Good on you.
Good for me, man.
We'll have a sting there going dun da da da. Levin's finished a game.
I finish like maybe 4 games a year, so that you know to see the credits on that.
Yeah, I
finished Splatoon the other day, and Splatoon for a game that it mostly focused on multiplayer mode, which is it's Nintendo's first ever shooter since Metroid Prime. It's like a multiplayer shooter,
designated online game kind of, isn't it?
Yeah, except you don't shoot guns, you shoot ink. It's like paintball. And the main thing, it's not really about, I mean, you can shoot the opposing team, but it's the main thing is about putting more, like covering your area in your color paint.
Nintendo ain't about bullets.
Nah, man, they're about ink. And when you spray ink, you can swim through it as a squid. You're like a half man, half squid creature.
It's very Japanese tentacle porn, isn't it?
It is. The most incredible Japanese art form of all. But The multiplayer mode is the thing that everyone's focusing on. It's really cool.
Is it a metaphor for puberty? Like, why are these teens transforming into squids? I'm trying to figure it out. It's such a weird... I just can't see
it. Nintendo. Nintendo things are, like, kind of weird and hard to explain. Like, they're all weird. Like, try explaining Pikmin to somebody.
You know what? I read this great description somewhere, and it was like... No, it's Shigeru Miyamoto, the guy who created Mario, basically the godfather of video gaming. And the way he sees it, he had this really nice sentence about the Mario... games, because he was like, oh, have you ever wondered why like Bowser and Mario are enemies in the Mario Brothers games, but then in Mario Kart they're hanging out and playing against each other and stuff like that. And he said, like, they're like actors and the Mario Brother games, that's why in Mario Brothers 3 it's famously a set, like the backdrop, there's like screws holding everything up, and he's like, they're going to work being the actors, and Bowser always plays the villain, the princess, but it's just like they're all acting, and so like they're like my toys, and I get them out to do different things, and that's why Smash Brothers is the way it is.
That's the best.
And I was like, you whimsical Japanese bastard, I'm going to kiss you right now.
It doesn't explain why the children are turning into squids.
No, he strategically left that one out, and as soon as he was questioned, the interview was over. But do you see those squiddy dudes, whatever they're called, hanging around like Nintendo lore now? Like how like Kirby eventually popped up in like, you know, even though he's not part of the Mario universe, he's in Smash Brothers and he's in...
Yeah, you can kind of play as the Splatoon characters in Smash Brothers now. You can unlock skins for the Mii. You can buy skins
the
Mii fighters. And in the Mario Maker, if you scam one of the amiibos, you can... This is a cool amiibo thing.
I saw this actually.
You can scam one of the amiibos and then you can play as an 8-bit version of that character.
Is it only 8-bit?
I don't know. I haven't seen so far.
No one's seen the 16 or 3D
version.
You
can play as like the Wii Fit trainer, but you can also play as the Splatoon girl.
Or Link.
But you know, the Splatoon's part of that. So I think...
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the single player campaign isn't getting much focus on in gaming press, but it's as good if not better than the multiplayer mode. And it doesn't have much depth from a time point of view. You can kind of pass it in 5 to 8 hours.
Is it kind of just there to kind of, I guess, like teach you skills to use in multiplayer as well?
Not really, because you learn all these incredible things that you don't see in the multiplayer mode,
which
is unfortunate. I wish that hopefully they're going to bring that over soon.
Like plot devices?
No, just like, you know, different mechanics and different weapons and different enemies and different ways to get around the courses. And the courses are quite similar to Mario Galaxy 2.
Yeah. See, I had no idea the way I saw it, and I've seen a shitty trailer for it, and you've probably seen it, and it's just... It's like it's advertising like GAC. It's like akin to a Super Soaker ad with Hermes and Darkers yelling at you. It just was a horrible ad, and it was just things splatting at me. And so I had no idea from that ad that there was like a compelling first player. You know,
like, and you there are all these different overworlds in each, and then you learn in each level a different game mechanic, and you use that throughout all the different levels in that world. And then there's this final boss after like 27 levels or something.
Yeah.
This is this final boss. And I think it might be one of the longest and most excitingly challenging boss levels I've ever played.
That's crazy. So I got none of that from any of the stuff I saw.
It's worth buying Splatoon just to play this boss level.
That's pretty crazy. And it's pretty cheap too. They're not like charging a buttload for it.
Yeah, right.
It's like $69 or $59 or something.
Regular kind of Nintendo price.
Is that what they normally are?
Yeah. But The boss level is like, it kind of turns the Nintendo idea of having to hit something three times and then it's over for a boss on its head.
So that's good.
There's like five different stages to this boss level, and they just keeps throwing more and more shit for you to kill, and the ending is just so rewarding and challenging. Yeah, it's great.
Do you get stuff that you can then bring into multiplayer or anything? Or is it
you kind of unlock different gear.
To like a lot of multiplayer where the maps aren't always regular, they change.
Yeah, you can play as two different. It's weird. Hopefully that they'll make more regular maps as the community grows.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully it does. But
well, hey, it just grew one here. Yeah, I'm gonna pick it up.
Well, let's end on that high note, shall we?
Ooh, that's very tight. Well, this was Hey Fam. Look, we'll have guests on it down the line.
We're gonna get way more pro at this. Or not pro. If you are like, get less pro at this, please.
If you're sick of professional sounding podcasts, then you've come to the right place.
You just want
to
hear us fart.
So Levs, where can they find you if people want to find your shit?
On Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, I am at Levdog, LevDawg.
And that's the same with your consoles, right? So if people
want to... Oh yeah, man, if you want to kick my ass at Splatoon,
if you want to join,
add me.
Can we call ourselves the Splat Frat? Can we just already get a Splatoon nickname?
Splatback.
If you want to get... Sounds like somewhere of that tentacle porn. I've heard so much about and never Googled before.
Come and play me at any game and kick my butt because I'm terrible at all games because I am a parent and I care about my kid more than I do games.
See, that's
suck on that, gamers.
That's for docs. He specifically said that there.
Yeah,
for
docs are sitting right next to me.
They're funding
this podcast. So thanks for that, docs.
My name on the internet is Chimichangas. You can find it by spelling Chimichangus.
Chimich Angus.
Yeah, look, I like myself and Mexican food, and so does everybody. So you can look me up on all the things Lev said. And I've also got another podcast.
Yeah. You got another one?
Yeah, I got a podcast. Keep plugging, man. Yeah, I'm still plugging. I got Greenlight Boys. We've just got a casual 61 episodes. No biggie.
Let me know when you've reached 69.
Hey, we've got a party for it. We're going to have a Ballers Entourage mashup party.
Beautiful.
It's going to be fun.
Ballerage.
What was it? The other thing you just... Oh, yeah. We've also got some freshly minted and freshly printed Hey Fam Facebook and email address.
You print them out already? You just did a screenshot and printed them out?
I said print all. Yeah, yeah. I just looked at it and
you put them on your wall. You said you didn't like art.
Yeah, it's true. Look at it. It's covered in art. We've got a Channing Tatum calendar over here. We're recording at my house tonight. We're hopefully going to do one at each other's houses.
Doesn't that sound riveting, listeners?
Don't you just want to know the interior of our houses?
Different acoustics.
Soon fans will be going, Levin's episode. That's the type of fandom we want. We want you guys to just really just become devoted to us. Get damaged tattoos.
So look, it's less about us being better and more about you being better. Be better fans. Like us on Facebook. Find us at Hey Fam.
HayFam.
HEY.
HEY. Well, I've got to call the t-shirt printers because I've made a huge mistake. No, it was HEY. I think that was a bad joke I was making. And we've got an email address, heyfampodcast@gmail.com.
Heyfampodcast@gmail.com.
So, if you just want to say, you know, dick pics.
That's it.
That's it. That's all we want.
Yeah, and stay tuned to us. Subscribe to us.
Send us your favorite Ballers lines, your favorite Entourage episodes.
Yeah, please. We just want to we want to really just create a nice fan base of fellow Ballers fans.
Send me which animal you think E looks like the most. I think he resembles a turtle the most, which is funny because Turtle doesn't look like Turtle.
What kind of animal does Turtle look like? An E.
Yeah, he looks like the letter E. It's so weird. What just blows me out there, just four guys from New York and LA, and that's life, baby.
That's not how life works.
Fish is out of water.
We're going to put the sound back on and enjoy this wonderful episode of Entourage from one of the many episodes of Entourage, all of which you can catch on HBO Go.
Yeah, now.
Hey Fam was brought to you by HBO.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.